I'm going to tell you a story about David, and it may be a story that you haven't heard yet, unless you just have read it several times. This is one of those stories that kind of falls through the cracks, but it's such an important story, many lessons in it. It comes from 1 Samuel 25, and it comes in a time in David's life after Goliath and before he's the king. So he's already defeated Goliath, and he is now a warrior in the army, but he has yet to become the king. He's been anointed to be king, but he's not king yet. So he's in this wilderness time. Some of y'all are in this wilderness time. God's blessed you, and you've overcome a few battles in your life, and but you're not quite at the place where you know God wants to put you someday. Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So that's where David is, and the chapter opens up with Samuel, the prophet, has died. And it's just one verse there, the prophet Samuel has died. This was David's leader, this was David's mentor, this was the guy that anointed him to be king. He was his defender whenever Saul, the present king, was trying to take David's life. And so now his only mentor is dead. And so the Bible says that David went to this wilderness area in the southern part of Israel called Maon. And while he was there, he was in this, there was a town there called Carmel. He has 600 men with him. It's his army. It's the army of Israel, but his little garrison, or whatever you want to call it, is 600 men. And they're hanging out. They're kind of hiding out. They're kind of hanging out in Carmel. And while he's there, he sees some shepherds that come into town from the outskirts. And he protects them and helps them. And he realizes that it's shearing time, that it's time for these sheep to be shorn. And there's a big festival around that. So he sends 10 of his men to one of the wealthiest ranchers in the area. And he sends them over there and has these guys ask if they can come join the party. Basically, hey, we've been hanging out here in the area for a while, and we've been protecting your guys, and would it be okay if we came and hung out at your party? This was an extremely wealthy man named Nabal, N-A-B-A-L, Nabal. And so Nabal says he had like 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. This was like, to us, millions of dollars. Okay, this guy was so wealthy. So he sends 10 guys over to Nabal and says, can we come join the party? And when they ask Nabal that, he starts kind of laughing and says, why would I take the stuff that I have for my people and give it to these outlaws, these wanderers? And it's not like he didn't know who David was, because David was very well known as a warrior already. In fact, the people would say, this is the king Saul who's killed his thousands, but here's David who's killed his 10,000s. So there was already this legend of David growing. Everybody knew who he was in the area. They knew he was going to be king someday. But Nabal is hanging out in southern Israel, and he's very arrogant, and he thinks, I don't care who the king is. I am my own king, and I can do whatever the heck I want to do. I don't have to give anybody anything. I can just do what I want to do. And so he sloughs them off. He mocks them, and he's like, no way, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to, you know, just get out of here. So the 10 guys go back to David, and they tell David what Nabal said. And you know what David said? He said, mount up, guys. Get your swords on. We're figuring to go have a reckoning at Nabal's house. And it says that he strapped his own sword on, and he took 400 of the 600 men. He left 200 there to protect their camp, and he took 400 men, and he's on a mission. We are going to go have justice served to this guy. Who does this guy think he is? So he starts getting angry and mad and wanting revenge. Meanwhile, one of Nabal's servants goes to Nabal's wife. Her name was Abigail. And the Bible says that she was beautiful and she was wise and smart and beautiful. I mean, what a great combination, right? And these servants went to her and said, "Hey, this is what your husband just said. We think it was an accident. We think it was a bad thing. I mean, David's been good to us. Whenever we went to Carmel in town and do whatever, he protected us and helped us. So, you know, I think this is going to be a bad situation." So Abigail says, "Okay, this is what we're going to do. I want you to go get me 200 loaves of bread. I want you to get me 100 clusters of grapes. I want you to get some cake. I want you to get some meal. And all these resources, wine, cases of wine." And she loaded them all on donkeys and starts heading toward David because she knows what's about to happen, right? So it's the Bible says that they go down into this canyon, and it just so happens that David and his 400 men are coming down into the canyon at the same time. And when they meet, Abigail gets off of her donkey, and she bows before David and says, "David, please forgive my husband. He's an idiot, basically. I can't believe that he told you what he did. I've got all of these goods and, you know, resources for you. Please eat up and enjoy this, and please forgive us." And you know what she said? She began to prophesy over David. And she said, "Your enemies will be defeated like stones that fly from your sling." Well, isn't it interesting that she said that? Because she had heard about Goliath, right? And so she begins to prophesy over David and just speak life. And hey, I know you're in a dark time, but everything's going to be okay. God's going to elevate you to be the king. And so this woman, who was the wife of this evil man, Nabal, begins to, in submission and selflessness, submit to David and give gifts to David and prophesy over David. And David says, "Thank you so much for coming and doing this. Not only are we going to enjoy the grapes and the wine and the bread and the meat and all that, but thank you for saving me from my jealous rage." That's what he said. "Thank you for saving me so that I didn't go seek vengeance myself." And so story goes on. He goes back to his place. Abigail goes back to the party where Nabal is. And when she gets back to the house, Nabal's there. The party is going full swing. Nabal is wasted. He is so drunk. And she's like, "I'm not even going to tell him what happened tonight because he's not in any condition to tell him what will happen." So the next day, after he's sobering up, she tells Nabal what had happened. And when she does, he has a stroke and is paralyzed because of this news that she gave him. And for 10 days, he laid paralyzed until he died 10 days later. So here is this beautiful, wise widow. And here's David not too far off. Y'all see where we're headed on this story? David's like, "Wow, God has been so good to me. I think I want to marry Abigail. I think this would be a great idea. She's the widow, and her husband died, and she's beautiful, and she's wise, and she's prophetic." And it's like, wow, this is amazing. So he sends people over to propose to her. They get married, and they don't live happily ever after. They do live after that, but you have to read the rest of the story to know exactly all the things that happened in David's life. Great man, after God's own heart, a sinner, does bad things. God redeems him. Anyway, that's an amazing story. Here are two lessons from this story. Are y'all ready for this lesson? The first is, don't be like Nabal. Making it very simple today, all right? The word Nabal actually means fool. And it actually meant fool, and they knew it meant fool. It's not like they said, okay, from now on, the word Nabal is going to mean fool because of this guy. Actually, when his wife went to David, she said, don't be like my husband, who his name means fool. So it was already the case. Don't be the fool in 2018. If you've been blessed, if God has given you any sort of blessing, and let me just tell you this, if you're in America and you're sitting in the seats today, you are in a position of blessing. We've got some people that are watching online right now from other countries that may not, you know, have it way, way worse than us. If you're in here today, and I just said, man, it's hot here, and we just push a button, and now some of y'all are getting cool. How many know that's a spoiled, rotten group of people right there, right? I mean, come on. We are so blessed. Push a button and all of a sudden it's cold in here. How amazing is that? You're all going to get in your vehicles, drive somewhere, have an amazing meal, New Year's, have the day off, all that kind of, what a blessing that we have. Here's the thing though, every one of us can become like Nabal in that blessing. And become like, hey, look what I've done. Look what I have. I don't need the king. I don't need God. I don't need all this. I can control my life, and I got it all figured out. So we're going to learn from Nabal today. That's not a good option, right? Not a good option. Jesus said like this in Luke 12, don't be afraid, little flock, for he gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. In other words, don't be like Nabal and be so tight-fisted that you earned it, you figured it out, you've got it all nailed and satisfied and completed, and it's all because of what you have done. This is what Jesus said. You're just the little flock. You're just the sheep. Come on, understand that the creator of the world is the one that bestowed this blessing upon you. And you can live with an open palm instead of a closed fist. If somebody comes to you and wants to be invited to the party, come on and let them in. Generosity. That's really what this is about. This message is about either you're going to live like Nabal with a tight fist. This is mine. Get out of here. You don't deserve this. Instead, I'm going to live like Abigail. That's lesson number two. Be like Abigail. Jesus said in Luke 12:33, sell your possession and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it. No moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, the desires of your heart will also be. And then he says in Luke 12:48, when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. I want you to think about what happened when Abigail released possessions to David in submission and what happened to David's heart when she did that. Remember what I said, what happened to David when she opened up her hand and submission and generosity? It changed David's heart. If there's some people in your life that you know need to change, instead of fighting, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, whatever, we need to be like Abigail. That's what Jesus is saying too. Be like Abigail, where we open up. Our treasure is going to be stored up in heaven, where no moth or rust can corrupt or eat holes in it. I love this new translation that says that your purse will never have a hole in it. They never get old. Bugs don't eat it. This is protected. This is better than any kind of government guarantee or economy guarantee of some sort of way to protect your assets. When you open up your hand and live a life of Abigail and not Nabal, and you're generous with what you have, what Jesus is saying is that you are storing up treasures in heaven that are going to be for eternity. And sometimes you see it here on earth immediately, and it's a blessing that gets returned to you immediately on earth. Sometimes it's several years after you've done it here on earth. Sometimes the waterfall of blessing is going to be on the other side of eternity. But what you can trust in is that God is going to have the final say. God's going to have the final word, not just with your treasure, but with your enemy also. Isn't that awesome how God handles David's business when Abigail is generous? It softens David's heart. Sometimes when we see people like David in the Bible do something, we think that God endorsed it or told him to do it. But the heroes of the Bible often do things out of their own pride and ego. So him going over there to deal with Nabal, strapping on swords and all that, God didn't tell him to do that. And it's obvious after the fact, whenever Abigail gives him these blessings, that he says, man, thank you so much for changing my heart in this matter. And I don't have to be the one that gets back at Nabal, because God's going to do that. God's going to take care. And what happens? She goes back home and God deals with David's mess. And then rewards him with a beautiful, wise wife. How awesome is that? Men in here that are married, you can say, I already got that checked off the list. It's right. She's right here. Right? God always provides. God always takes care of business. God provides for David's needs. He gives him the party he was wanting. He gave him the wine and the food and the grapes. He gave him all the stuff that he was wanting. But he also takes care of his enemy. He defeats his enemy without David having to do anything. And he also blesses him with an amazing wife. If you're wanting to go into 2018 with some sort of mantra or attitude or some sort of vision for how you're going to live out 2018, I want to encourage you to live it out like Abigail. She's the hero that we're looking at in this particular instance. She's the channel. Because of her surrender, she ushers in God's movement. And so, not Nabal, not foolish, but out of generosity with an open hand. Would you bow your heads with me and let's pray right now? Even kids, I want you to pray with me too. Kids, adults, everybody watching online today from all over the place. God has blessed us so much. And it doesn't matter how much you've been blessed. The devil's always going to come in and say it's not enough. Look at so-and-so, they have more, and so it feels like you're not blessed. Look at all the debt that you have, blah, 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 all that. So it makes you feel like you're not blessed. But in reality, everyone in the building today is so richly blessed. Let's just thank God for his blessings. Lord, we thank you. Would you say that to God right now? Just say, thank you, God, for your blessings. There's some things in my life I don't like. There's some things in my life that I want to change. But God, I first want to give you thanks for the blessings in my life. Now let's make a commitment to God that we're going to live a life of Abigail, of generosity. Do you join with me in that? Just say, Lord, I want to live with an open hand, not a closed fist. Lord, I want to live like Abigail in 2018, not like Nabal. I don't want to be so tied up in my own existence, God, that I ignore the needs of others. I don't want to be so afraid that I'm not going to have enough money that I am never generous. Lord, you are my provider. You are my source. I don't ever have to be afraid of being taken care of. You're always going to be there. Would you just confess that faith in God right now? Just say, Lord, I trust that you're going to take care of me in 2018. God, I trust that you're going to take care of my health. I trust that you're going to take care of my finances. I trust you, God, that you know every detail about my life. Let's confess our dependence and our allegiance to God right now. Lord, we trust you. We put our hope in you. We put our heart in your hands, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. There's anything in us, God, that's like Nabal, reveal it to us over the next few days and weeks, God. Expose it, Lord, so that we can lay it down before you. Expose it, God, so that it's not like a seed that begins to grow, a dark plant of hatred or bitterness or fear, or anxiousness. Lord, we don't want that, God. We want it to be rooted out, Lord. We want to just consecrate our life and submit our life to you so that we can live a life of Abigail, of surrender, of generosity, of hope for the future. God, that we would even begin to prophesy over our friends and neighbors and those around us and speak life over them, even when they're surrounded by their own darkness, Lord, but we can be the light in a dark world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.